I have a little bit of a scratchy throat, so I've got two teas, a water. Hold on. 19 cough drops, two tissues. All right, let's do it. All right, here we go. This might be a lot of fun for you guys. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Somebody told me I sound like a man now, so we'll see. You know, maybe that's it. Finally, my voice is changing. I don't know what the deal is. Four more cough drops. Okay. Ever have that? Ooh, that was good, wasn't it? Let's just ease into this one. Ever had that? I'm just going to talk to you guys today. Just going to talk casually. Ever had that moment when somebody says, hey, come here. You've got to look at this. About 10 times a summer, we have from my house just an amazing sunset. The sun sets, it's amazing, and my daughters or my wife will say, come here, look at this, and here's some of the sunsets. We go out the front door, and you just look, and there's this amazing, beautiful sunset. There's another one right here. This one's actually from my back door, right there. The Licking River goes by my house, so that's back there. But anyway, it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing to see something beautiful and to say, come look at it. Everyone, come look at it. And the scripture we're studying today is so beautiful. And we're just going to step back and we're going to gaze at it and study it. And actually, I'm going to ask Pastor Brad to read it for us to save my voice a little bit. And so he's going to read to you the scripture for this morning. Here it is.
Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that just an amazing passage to step back and look at and just gaze on the beauty of Jesus Christ? You know, it's important when you're studying the Bible to speak clearly and not like a frog. But anyway, it's important when you're studying the Bible to look at both the context and the content. The content here is so beautiful that it draws us in, but don't forget the context that we're looking at in this passage. Paul is actually telling us in Philippians 5:2, he's reminding us, he's instructing Christians about their attitudes. He's telling them what their attitude should be and giving them a model about their attitude. Some translations even translate the word there, attitude. The Greek word, by the way, is phroneo, and it means mindset or attitude or how you see life. Now, you might be sitting there thinking lots of things, actually, but you might be thinking, can you guys actually understand what I'm saying? Is that working out for you? Okay. You might actually be thinking, you know, Pastor Tom, this sounds great. Not that you sound great, but this sounds great. And can someone really change their attitude? If you've got a bad attitude or you've got a negative attitude, can you actually change your own attitude? And let me just talk about that for a few moments by giving you an example. This is actually a picture of Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist. He was a Jewish psychiatrist and lived in Germany, was very successful in his practice, did very, very well. But when Hitler came to power in Germany, Viktor Frankl and his family were moved to Auschwitz concentration camp. He was processed there with other Jewish men and women and separated from his wife and his parents. And here's a picture of the concentration camp. Eventually, he was taken to another camp where he worked for 5 months in slave labor, just in a horrific conditions. But eventually, he came back to Auschwitz and they allowed him to work as a doctor. When he got back, he found out his wife had died, and it was just a horrible, horrible thing. Later in life, when he looked like this, he wrote a book, a very famous book called Man's Search for Meaning. And in this book, he gives a quote that I just love. Here's what he says. My time in the concentration camp taught me this. Everything can be taken from a man or a woman but one thing. The last of human freedom is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Think about that. Here's what he said. Here's a man who is in a concentration camp in the worst of conditions, and he says, the last of human freedom, that sounded awesome, the last of human freedom is to choose your attitude in any set of circumstances. And Paul is telling us in this scripture, choose your attitude. And here's the attitude that you should choose. Here's what he says. Be like Jesus. Have his attitude. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Or the ESV says something to be grasped or something to cling to. Jesus did not cling to his divinity, his heavenly realm. He let go of it to come to the earth to be with us. Rather, he made himself nothing. The word here actually means to pour out of a pitcher. He poured out certain things about himself. He made himself nothing to come to earth. You might be wondering, what did Jesus empty of himself? One thing he emptied was his heavenly glory. He told the disciples that he will go back to God and have the glory he had before the creation of the world. He also emptied his independent authority. Jesus said that he only did what God commanded him to do on the earth. And last of all, Jesus gave up a painless existence in heaven to come and to feel the pain of living on this earth. He emptied himself of all those things by taking the very nature of a servant. Now, I just want you to notice that this phrase, nature of a servant, is the same word that you see in verse 6. That word nature is the same Greek word. Jesus was in very nature God, and he kept that nature, but he took on the nature of a servant. He came to serve us. Here's your first fill in the blank for today. We are called to take the nature of a servant. I'm not sure if I'm getting better or getting worse up here. We'll see. In fact, it says to us in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve. I have a really great story that I'm going to tell you at this point. I'm going to abbreviate it for the sake of your ears, actually. But the story is about, it's a story written by Soren Kierkegaard. He's actually explaining Jesus in a book that are called Parables of Kierkegaard. And he tells a story about a prince. And the prince wants to find love. But he has no one to love because he has such power. He'll never know if a young maiden will love him for himself or for his power. One day his carriage is going through a town and he spots an inn. And inside the inn is a young girl and she's waiting tables. And he immediately falls in love with this girl. And he asks himself the question, how will I ever know if she'll love me? So he goes back to the palace and he takes off all of his royal robes. And he gets someone to buy him some clothes of a peasant. And he goes back to that same inn and he goes in taking on the nature of a servant to work in that inn. And he works there and meets her and they fall in love and they're married together. And then he unveils to her his actual glory as the prince. It's Kierkegaard's way of telling us what Jesus did. He took off his royal robes to come to earth and to be a servant. But it gets even better. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Muhammad Ali says this. It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. You know, humility is a difficult thing sometimes for us to really consider that, the humility of what Jesus did. He humbled himself. He became humble. He took off all the glory that he had and came to earth to live as a man. The verse goes on, by becoming obedient to death. Think about that. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Billy Graham says it like this. Jesus was born with the cross darkening his pathway. From the cradle to the cross, his purpose was to die. And Jesus humbled himself to be obedient to death. And then Paul goes one step farther when he says this. Even death on a cross. Don't forget, death on a cross was the worst way that you could die. F.F. Bruce, Bible scholar, says this. Death on a cross is one of the cruelest forms of execution known to man. It was abolished in 337 A.D. because ultimately even the Romans considered it too inhumane. Here's this picture of Jesus humbling himself. Here's the idea we have. We are to imitate Christ and live lives of humble obedience. Live lives of humble obedience before God. Came across this story this week that I really enjoyed and I really liked, and it was about this woman. Her name is Aretha Loving is her name, and she wrote a book called Slices of Life, and she was actually had a very difficult job. She and her husband, she was a Bible translator. Now think about that for a second. They would go to another country. In her case, she went to Papua New Guinea in the 1950s, and her husband would actually leave for months at a time, 6 months or even longer, and her husband would go, that's her husband right there, he would go off into a place that looked something like this, and he would learn the language with the purpose of translating the Bible into their language. And so she was left alone by herself for long periods of time in her home in Papua New Guinea. Well, one thing that bothered her was that her back deck needed to be painted, but there was no paint to be found. So she got a hold of someone in America, and they mailed her some paint, and she went out one day, and she painted the back porch, and she was so proud of her painting job. But there was a young boy, a young missionary boy in that community, and his name was Johnny, and he kind of looked like Dennis the Menace a little bit. That's his picture. Dennis the Menace, that is. And so Johnny came by the house after she finished painting the back deck, and she yelled out, and she said, I'm not going to yell out, but I'll pretend. She said, Johnny, stay away from my back porch. I just painted it. And he yelled back, and he said, it's okay. I'll be careful. And then she found herself saying this. She yelled back, I don't want careful. I want obedience. And in that moment, she said she felt God's Spirit speaking and saying, that's what I want as well. I don't just want careful. I want obedience. And we're to follow the example of Jesus to have humble obedience. This morning when I realized my voice was going out and not doing very well, I saw my brother Dan in the hallway, and Dan said, Tom, you want me to take over for you? And I said, maybe not a bad idea. And so Dan's going to actually hit the next portion of this message. He didn't practice, and he has no idea what the slides are, but he's going to do his best job he can. Give him a hand. Give him a hand.
So you guys know how yawning is contagious? As I listen to Tom, I find myself just kind of, you guys doing that? Okay, let's jump back in here. So we're going to hit the next part of the verse. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So that highest place really translates to like a super exalted place. Now, I know for me, and probably for some of you, you know, we hear these verses, we hear these phrases, and sometimes we can get a little bit numb to it. But when we think about what God did with Christ, he put him at the absolute highest place that you could be put with his name. It was the ultimate authority. It was the ultimate honor. We have the ability to pray in Jesus' name because of the honor and the authority that comes with that. There was no one that had more authority than Christ. And that was the power that he bestowed upon him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. And under the earth. So that is every single dimension of life. That's the dimension that we're all very familiar with. You know, the on-earth dimension that we live every day. That's also the heavenly dimension, and that's the dimension of hell, where it's just death. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Paul also speaks to this in Romans. For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess to God. But you might be thinking, you know, when is this going to happen? When could it happen? And Revelations talks a little bit about that, 20:11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. So let's picture that. We have this throne, and Christ is on the throne, and every person that has ever lived is there facing the throne. These are famous people. He says, great and small. So kings, rulers, everyone is there that has ever lived. I will be there when this happens. You will be there when this happens. The mob that crucified Christ will be there. The Roman soldiers that gambled for his clothing, they will be there. Everyone will be there facing him on the throne. Books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Back to Philippians. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is the crucial point. If this is something that you've already done in your life, if you've confessed that Christ is Lord, then with that comes salvation. But if you don't, if you wait, anyone that the first time that it happens for them is in front of that throne, it's too late. They confess that because they see that it's true then, but it's too late. For anyone that has confessed it now in this dimension, in the earthly dimension, we will do that again in front of the white throne, but we will also do that with celebration, knowing that we have already received salvation and knowing that we get to spend the rest of eternity with Christ. Thank you.
How about one more hand for Dan, if you don't mind? You know what's weird is that I don't feel sick at all. I feel great. My body feels great. I'm all excited about this message. I just can't talk. That's kind of the problem I've got. I want to remind you again that it's important to look at the context and also the content. And the context of this passage is about us. The content is about Jesus. But the context is about us, about taking on the attitude of Jesus Christ. You know, for me personally, this has been a pretty tough 24 hours. The last 24 hours have been pretty tough for me. I woke up yesterday, and I had a little scratchy throat, and I did every remedy known to man. People were saying things like, eat potato chips, so I tried that. People said, try this, try that. Somebody said, take a shot of Jack Daniels. Didn't try that one, actually. But I got a lot of suggestions about how to fix my throat, and I had some anxiety. I just kept praying for healing in my throat and just praying for that. And I was home last night after church, and my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, came downstairs, and she'd been saying all day that she's had a heaviness on her chest, and she couldn't quite breathe. And she came down last night about 11 or so. She'd already been in bed and came down, and she told her mom and I, she said, I just can't breathe. I can't breathe. And so we realized how dire the situation was. We took her to the hospital last night, and we were there till 3 in the morning last night, and they diagnosed her with actually having pneumonia, was why she couldn't breathe, and the issues she was having. And it was in all these things of having a raspy throat and my daughter being in the hospital, which was much, much worse, and this pneumonia and her, she almost hyperventilated trying to get breath and breathe. And all those things, I kept thinking, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Now, I just want to challenge you that when you face challenges in life, remind yourself, my attitude is to mirror Jesus Christ. I'm to have the same attitude that he had. Thinking about the context of this passage, I came across a quote by C.S. Lewis. It's actually in a book called Miracles. And in the book called Miracles, he talks about the greatest miracle of all. I want to have Pastor Brad read this quote to you and just sit back. It's kind of a long quote. Sit back and just listen about the grand miracle of Jesus Christ.
In the Christian story, God descends to reascend. He comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity, down to the very roots and seabed of the nature he has created. But he goes down to come up again and bring the ruined world up with him. One has the picture of a strong man stooping lower and lower to get himself underneath some great complicated burden. He must stoop in order to lift. He must almost disappear under the load before he incredibly straightens his back and marches off with the whole mass swaying on his shoulders. Or one may think of a diver first leaping, then glancing in midair, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through green and warm water into black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay. Then up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks surface again, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. He and it are both colored now that they have come up into the light. Down below, where it lay colorless in the dark, he lost his color too. In this descent and reascent, everyone will recognize a familiar pattern, a thing written all over the world. It is the pattern of all vegetable life. It must belittle itself into something hard, small, and death-like. It must fall into the ground. Thence, the new life reascends.
I'm going to finish the quote. Here's the ending of it. So it is also with our moral and emotional life. The first and spontaneous desires have to submit to the death-like process of control or total denial. But from that, there's a reascent with the strength of God himself. Death and rebirth go down to go up. It is a key principle. Here's your third fill in the blank for today, your last one. Don't forget this very key principle that we see in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Here's the principle. Go down to come up. That's what Jesus did. He descended down to save mankind. He came down to ascend back up again to heaven. And the principle for us is also that we go down, that we surrender ourselves to God so he may exalt us. We go down before him to worship him. And then he lifts us with his presence. Here's the idea. Every day submit in humble obedience and allow God to raise you up with his joy. As you submit to him, he raises you up. Here's another idea. Give up every anxiety to his control and allow his peace to bring you back up. And the ultimate one of all is this last one. Surrender your whole life confessing Jesus is Lord. Why don't you all bow your heads with me if you would. Some of you in this room, as you picture that final scene of the great white throne of God and all of humanity standing before the great white throne, I want you to picture yourself in that moment. Dan said that some of us will be rejoicing to confess Jesus is Lord. But others there will tremble in fear because in this life they never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. They never repented of their sins. They never began to live through the Holy Spirit the way God desires us to live. If you're here right now and you know in that moment before the great white throne that you will be celebrating because your name is in the book of life, just raise your hand right now. I'll be celebrating my name is in the book of life. It's going to be amazing. Hands back down. But maybe you're sitting here and you couldn't raise your hand because you know you've never confessed that Christ is Lord. You've never repented of your sins. You've never lived for him. And so right now in this raspy, death-like voice, I'm going to pray a prayer about life. I'm going to invite you to pray with me if you would like to accept Jesus Christ this morning. Pray with me as I pray this prayer. It begins like this. Father God, just pray that. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I know I've made mistakes. I know I've committed sins, but I ask you to forgive me. And Jesus Christ, I know you died for me and rose again. I confess you are Lord. Come into my life. I give all I am to you. In your name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And if just now you prayed that prayer with me, I just want you to just raise your hand if you would and just say, yeah, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I was sincere. I was genuine in praying that prayer. If your hand's up right now, I see those several hands up. And if you just want to make eye contact for a moment with me, I'm just going to let you know I'm going to be in a table in the back called the Starting Point Table. come back there and we'll talk. I'll give you a free gift, and I'd like to just meet with you, pray with you back at that table if you would. Maybe you're here today and you know you need to, despite the difficulties of this morning, you know you need to go down, to come up. You need to submit yourself to Christ in every way. Give him all your anxiety. Give him all your fears, submitting yourself to him. And if that's the case, and in your seat or at the altar, take a moment now just to surrender yourself afresh to Jesus Christ. If you pray with me, come back and see me at the table, and I'll see you back there.
Proclamation and declaration that he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. God's people say,
amen.
Sorry, this morning was a little bit strange and different than normal. Next week we'll be back to normal. Please pray for that. I appreciate that very much. I love you guys so much. Thanks for coming and for being here. Just to let you know, there's a healing prayer team back in the prayer room. Go back for any issues you might have for some prayer. And also, if you're a first-time visitor, we've got a gift for you. Looks just like this, so grab one of these gift bags on your way out. We'd love to give one to you. So here's a little scary question. How many guys were actually blessed by being here today? You were blessed to be in God's presence and blessed. You're very, very kind. Thank you very much. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day. Thanks.